Take our copies of God's Word again, and let's open to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and I'll explain the odd title of tonight's sermon in a moment. An after dinner warning. Matthew 26, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 20 through 46 and then skip down to verse 56 and read the last half of that verse. So Matthew 26, beginning in verse 20. Again, let's give our careful hearing to the Word of God. But when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And then after Jesus is seized and arrested, at the end of verse 56, we read, "Then all the disciples left him and fled." Pray with me briefly. Lord, we do seek your blessing this evening and acknowledge, Lord, that in and of ourselves we are sinful and weak creatures. It is hard for us to give our attention to the preaching of the Word and to the reading of it, and yet your Holy Spirit is powerful. And so we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you might give us ears to hear, that the preaching of the Word this evening would be a clear demonstration of the Spirit's power. And in this exercise, Lord, our desire is that Christ would have the preeminence. We pray this in His name and for His glory. Amen. I know that you, as a congregation, have not come to the Lord's table today, but I believe it's next Lord's Day morning you will be coming to the Lord's table and taking the sacrament of communion. And when it comes to the sacrament of communion, I think all Christians are well aware of what our responsibilities are as we come to the table. We know that we are to come with care, that we're to examine ourselves, that we're to discern the Lord's body. In other words, we know what is required of us as we come to the table. We know it's a sobering and serious thing. If we're coming to commune with Christ, then preparation is necessary. But I wonder if you have ever thought about what we are to do when we leave the table. We know what we're supposed to do before we come to the table, but does the Bible say anything about what we do when we leave the table? Well, the short answer to that question is no. The Bible doesn't explicitly say, do this or that after the Lord's Supper. And yet we know that a sound principle, a biblical principle of Reformed theology, is that we can deduce truths from the Bible. And what we have in the passage before us this evening is a very instructive lesson, a very instructive warning as to what can happen to us after we come to the Lord's table. In other words, Matthew gives us these details of what happens immediately following the first Lord's Supper ever to be instituted. And in those events, we have a valuable lesson. We have, as the title of the sermon indicates, we have an after-dinner warning. Because herein we learn that for us, danger can await us after the Lord's Supper. And we can even take that a little bit further and say any Lord's Day in which we come and sit under the means of grace and experience the blessing, very often we leave and we have felt that we have been with Christ. And yet we can leave the blessings of the church, the blessing of the Lord's Day, and we could enter into temptation and fall into sin. Because what we see is that immediately following this first Lord's Supper, we find one disciple that betrayed him, another denied him, and all of them left him and fled. And so let's think about the warning that is here for us. The time after the Lord's Supper can be a wonderful time of blessing, but it can also be a time for temptation and sin. And to truly appreciate how this can happen, we need to first acknowledge, and you do have an outline, that we can truly be strengthened by the Lord's Supper. I want you to notice the disposition of the disciples before that first Lord's Supper. If you look at verses 20 to 22 in Matthew 26, we see, and we may not often think of it this way, but we see that first Lord's Supper, these men were engaged in thoughtful self-examination. It's remarkable. Even before that commandment is given, in 1 Corinthians 11, we see these men engaged in self-examination. Remember, they reclined at table, and Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." And listen to their reaction. "And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?'" Notice their response.
They don't say to him, "Oh Lord, I would never do that." But on their part, there was a genuine and thoughtful self-examination. Everyone but Judas was engaged in thoughtful, reflective self-examination. "Lord, is it I?" They looked to Christ as the one who knew their hearts, and they didn't put it past themselves that they could be the one that would betray him. And so there was real humility, there was real self-examination. And yet in that upper room, we also see that they enjoyed a real intimate communion with Jesus. They gathered in that upper room and they experienced an intimate evening with Christ. He taught them, he assured them of his love, of the forgiveness that he brings. It was a beautiful time of fellowship. And the disciples' experience in many ways is much like ours. We can come to the Lord's table with thoughtful self-examination. We can come with humility, looking to Christ. We can experience real communion with him. We can come away from that time at the Lord's Supper strengthened in our faith. Our experience is not much different. Even though Christ is not physically here with us, by his Spirit, he is present with us. And he's present with us in the Lord's Supper. And yet, like the disciples, we need to leave the table. We need to leave the safety of the fellowship of the church, and we need to go out into a world where we will face opposition and temptation, and where our faith will be tested. Notice verse 30. It tells us that when Jesus and the disciples had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And from this moment onward, we see a marked change in the disposition of these disciples. We see now, secondly, we find them overconfident after the supper. And in their behavior after the supper, we have a warning about a misplaced trust in ourselves. These men who had just come to the Lord's table with humility and thoughtful self-examination, these men who had just communed with Jesus, their Savior, very quickly began to trust themselves. So much so that we find them blatantly distrusting Christ. Look at verses 31 to 35. Right after they leave the upper room, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Notice that dramatic change in their attitude. These were the same men who, when Christ said, "One of you will betray me," were asking, "Lord, is it I?" But all of a sudden, their humility and their self-reflection is gone. And now they are filled with overconfidence. And the question should be, what happened? What brought about this change in their disposition? How did they go from this humility and trusting in Christ and looking to Him to this overconfidence? I think the answer is that in that Lord's Supper, that first Lord's Supper, that they left that upper room truly strengthened in their faith with a greater love for their Savior. There was a real strengthening that took place. They truly loved Jesus and they did not intend on forsaking Him. But we find that they quickly began to mistake the power and the grace of Jesus for their own power. They turned their trust from Christ to themselves. Their confidence in Christ turned to a confidence in their own strength. And the same exact thing can happen to us. We can come to mistake the grace and the strength of Christ for our own strength. We can come away from our time in the means of grace, strengthened by Christ, but we can quickly begin to attribute that strength to ourselves and then become overconfident. And that means that the time after the supper is a time of danger for us. After the supper can become an occasion for complacency and temptation and sin. In other words, we can walk that same path that the disciples walked. They became overconfident, and then they became complacent, and then they entered into temptation, and then they entered into sin. On the way to the garden, Jesus warned them about the trial that awaited them, but they disregarded His word. And when they arrive at the garden, Jesus calls them to watch and to pray, to be vigilant, to be alert. But instead of praying, they slept. Why? Because they had this misplaced trust in themselves that produced a spiritual complacency that left them open to temptation. And like the disciples, we can so often think that our fellowship with Jesus is so sealed, that our love for Him is so strong that we can let our guard down. In Matthew 26:41, after praying, Jesus found them sleeping and He said, "Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation." He calls them to spiritual vigilance. These men were complacent. And then He goes on to say, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I think in that statement, Christ teaches us an important principle regarding our own hearts. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think what we can learn from that statement is that our good intentions are not enough. These men did not want to flee from Christ. They did not want to deny Christ. They really wanted to obey Him. And yet their flesh was weak. We may come away from the Lord's table strengthened, wanting sincerely to walk in obedience, really wanting to do the right thing, but those good intentions are not enough. And so Jesus' warning here is not to mistake our good intentions for strength. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We might have the desire to do what is right. We might sincerely want to obey Christ. But if we trust in ourselves, we will lack the power to obey. There's a proneness in all of us to mistake our good intentions for strength, especially when we experience blessing under the means of grace. And when we do that, we get to the point of danger. And we need to understand that the tempter loves to thwart the blessings of the means of grace. He loves to come at us after we have experienced a blessed time of fellowship on the Lord's Day. He loves to take advantage of our overconfidence and undo those blessings, as it were. And that's what happened with these men and what can happen with us. They had true communion with Jesus. Their love for Him was strengthened. And yet they left that upper room, and one betrayed Him, one denied Him, and the rest left Him and fled. And so what ought we to do then to avoid this danger after the supper? Well, we see it simply in verse 38. We need to remain with Christ and watch. Remain with Christ and be spiritually vigilant. Matthew 26:38, He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with Me." In other words, continue to trust Christ. Be suspicious of yourselves. Be aware of that temptation to trust in yourselves. See, we may leave the table, we may leave the fellowship of the church, but we can never leave Christ. We never receive so much grace from the sacrament that we stop needing the One who is the source of that grace. We need Him as much after the supper as we do before and during the supper. And it's striking that when Jesus calls the disciples and us to remain with Him and watch, remain. I think that was a catchword to the disciples to call to mind something Jesus had taught them just maybe minutes or an hour earlier in the upper room. It's the same word that Jesus uses in John 15:4. And just before these events in the garden, Jesus in the upper room said, "Whoever abides, whoever remains," same word, "whoever remains in Me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from Me, you can do nothing." Jesus was likely calling to mind that teaching. You need to remain in Me. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. This is our great need as we leave the table. Abide in Christ. Remain in Him. Keep on depending upon Him. There's danger after the supper, but there's also great blessing. Great blessing that's to be found in our Lord. And so next week, as you come to the table, and then as you leave the table next Lord's Day, remain in Christ and watch. Trust in Him to be your refuge and your strength as you go out into a hostile world. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do confess our tendency to be overconfident, Lord, to mistake our good intentions for strength. And Lord, we know that we so easily lose sight of our Savior. Lord, please help us by Your Spirit and fix our eyes upon Him. Even as this evening we prepare to leave the comfort and the blessing of this fellowship and go out into a world where we encounter trial and hardship. Lord, watch over us, protect us. Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, may we remain in Christ and be vigilant. Lord, we thank You for all that our Savior has done for us. We thank You for His patience with us, even in our overconfidence. Lord, that His love for us does not change. Lord, bless us as we begin a new week. May we rest in Christ today and begin a new week, continuing to trust in Him. We pray in His great name. Amen.